Dennis McKinney lives in Greensburg. He's also a Kansas state representative. He and his 14-year-old daughter, Lindy, survived the tornado by huddling together in a basement bathtub. McKinney says they were expecting a neighbor and her baby to take shelter with them, but the two never showed up.
I was outside the back door for just a few moments waiting, hoping she would come out of her house, and stuff started hitting me, and the wind just made a huge roar, and then finally the roof started coming off, so I ran down to the basement, and we got in the bathtub, and I told my daughter, I was just so frantic, because I said, I don't want to leave her out there, and my daughter said, well, let's start praying for her right now, and we were only there for a minute, 2 minutes, just a couple minutes, and I was just awestruck that in a minute and a half or so, you know, the whole town was gone.
Now, this was a neighbor who didn't have a basement, and you were hoping that she would make her way to your house right out the tornado with you.
Yeah, her husband was out of town, but her husband called and said, I'm sending Kelsey and the baby over. At least I said, well, this is getting kind of late, and I said, well, tell her to hurry, come to the back door. But she couldn't get her door open, and it's fortunate because if her door had opened, I'm afraid she would have gone right into the storm, so it's a good thing she didn't come out when she did. When we came out, we looked at their house, and it was gone. It was just there was a pile of rubble. But no basement, and it was gone, and I didn't see how anybody could be alive, and I walked over and I called out, and her voice from this rubble came out and said, please help me, please save my baby. And our school superintendent was there, and he came running over, and our school principal was there also, and he ran down to get an emergency vehicle. We didn't know the street was blocked. And we started digging, and my daughter was there, she held the flashlights, and pretty soon we saw this little pair of legs, and he pulled some stuff back, and there was this baby, about a one-year-old boy looking up at me. Big eyes, not crying, and I pulled him. He was looking at me like, what took you so long? I pulled him out, and he didn't have any clothes. I just had a diaper on it. Didn't have a scratch on him. Pulled him out, all that rubble, no scratch on him, and we did some more digging, got his mom out, and she was able to walk away. But we think we've lost some friends. We still haven't seen the fatality list. We know of a few people that we know lost their lives. I think when the fatality list comes out, you're going to see the grieving really get started here, and we still have a lot of the grieving process to go through.
So you know that there are people who perished in the storm, but right now many people don't know who's on that list.
Yeah. We don't know all the people that are critically injured, and we have not seen the fatality list. In fact, the pastor from my church was able to get back in town today, and I got him hooked up with the Emergency Operations Center so he could see the fatality list, know which ones were in his congregation, and he could attend to them.
You know, sadly, this is not the first time that a town in Kansas has been leveled by a tornado. What happens historically when an entire town is obliterated by a tornado? Do they come back? Do they merge with the next town down? I imagine you're thinking about this right now, the likelihood that the town will rebuild.
We think we will rebuild. You know, I think that as we clear up the rubble, as we start to clean up, people will start to see the opportunities that are here and will start to rebuild. I intend to. I know other people that intend to. We've already bought, the school's already ordered new track uniforms so the track teams can start competing in track meets, and the golf team can start, they've ordered some golf clubs so the golf team can compete starting as early as this coming Thursday. And I think that's a great message to send out in the community that we're here, we're not gone, and we're going to keep going. The one reason I think we'll rebuild is because it's a beautiful place to raise a family. You know, it's one of those places where you can call up your neighbors and say, hey, have you seen my daughter? Have you seen Lindy around? And they'll say, yeah, she's up here. And it's okay, just checking. And they know if they do make a mistake, kids do something wrong, usually the news gets home before they get home. It's just a great place to live.
In one of the questions I guess I have to ask as you're now trying to work your way through the rubble, if the state's deployments, the National Guard and the Reserve deployments in Iraq, have it all hampered the rescue and recovery effort?
Well, they're somewhat short on equipment, but I don't know if I'd say it's hampered it yet. I do know they're short on equipment, but it's noticeable that a lot of the equipment they're using here, some of the trucks are pretty old. There's not hardly any Humvees available. But I tell you, our disaster responses in Kansas are quite well organized. And the other thing you have to remember, in this part of Kansas, it's all small towns, so the vast majority of EMTs that show up on the ambulances, the vast majority of firefighters that show up at things like this, are volunteer. They're not professional. They're taking time away from their regular jobs. You know, it's the spirit that we have around here, and we support each other.
A lot of practical decisions have to be made in coming days now. Where will people live? Where will children go to school? If people get sick, where will they go to hospital?
Well, the emergency management people say that they have to provide housing either within or very close to town because that's just where people want to be. They want to remain close to their homes. Most of the people that didn't have a place to go to were housed in the gymnasium and in the Friends Church at Havlin, which is a town just 10 miles east of us. We had the buses came in from all the communities around. Buses came in, picked people up, and gave them transportation to those shelters. You realize how the community networks because we've got people with no money, no cars, they've lost their driver's licenses, the banks are closed, so they can't access the money in their accounts, and you realize how it all works together. And there's a great effort going on to get things going again.
If I can just ask before we say goodbye, how is your daughter doing?
She's doing fairly well. She's still struggling. It's still sinking in. And today was the first time she'd been back in town in the daylight since the storm. You know, I think we still have a lot of talking and a lot of healing. But she got to see some of her friends today, and, you know, they held each other and cried and talked to each other. And I think that was the beginning of the healing process right there. That did her some good there.
Well, Representative McKinney, thank you for, I know you're a busy man, thank you for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you for caring. We're a small town in southwest Kansas and didn't think anybody knew where we were or cared. And it's just nice to know that everyone really does care and appreciate you being concerned.
Well, all the best to you and your family, sir.
Thank you.
That was Representative Dennis McKinney. He's a resident of Greensburg, and he represents the town in the Kansas State Legislature.